today,
I want you to stop for a minute and look at this. Have you ever really beheld it? I mean, honestly, yeah, we start looking at it with a little bit of perseverance long about Easter. People wear them around their necks, get them tattooed on their body, have them on the back window of their vehicles, stand them above churches, turn it into a symbol. And it is, don't get me wrong, but what is it? It didn't look like this. I can guarantee you that. It was crudely built and hammered together, and Jesus Christ hung on it. But what is it? When we take a look at it, if you take away the fact of what we know happened on it, its structure is plain. It's two sticks. One this way, one this way. It really doesn't call out to you if you don't understand what happened here. And yet we as Christians know this symbolizes the death of Jesus. What does it mean? Ask any Christian that question. What's it mean? They'll tell you. It's where Jesus died. No, that's what happened. What does it mean? It means this is where you leave it. This spot on a cross beneath our precious Savior's last living place is where you leave it behind. It's where you leave it here. It's where you walk away from it. And so it becomes the question, what is it? What does it mean? Now, I am not a philosopher. I can't even say the word. I am not good at philosophy. I am not even a great thinker. The presidential debate that took place this week, I made a smart alecky comment about it, that to me, the greatest debate that was taking place that night is when I stood at the freezer door trying to figure out whether I wanted mint chocolate chip, chocolate, or vanilla. And I won because I had all three. But what is it? Well, that's an easy answer. It is the old self. It is what this scripture defines. It is what you have left behind. You know, a lot of times this scripture passage is cited to deal with greed and money, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as we all well know, scriptures fit different ways at different times, and they always have a central meaning. I want us to look at that scripture today from a totally different perspective. I want you to know that everybody in this room is rich. And I'm not talking about money. Jesus, it says here that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He knew when this fella walked up to him what question he was going to ask, and his heart burned with love for this man, even though he knew what this fellow was going to do, that he would not capture what Jesus was saying. He was saying to him, if you're rich, you got to walk away from it. Before you came to this point, you lived a rich life. It was rich in experience. It was rich in things. It wasn't necessarily rich in money, but it was rich in trying to keep up with what the world demands. That's rich. I always tell people all the time, I'm poor, and I got corrected one time here not too long ago by a pretty smart preacher who's a whole lot more experienced than me. He looked at me, he said, you ain't poor. I said, man, I ain't got no money. He goes, no, you're broke. I said, well, ain't that the same thing? And he said, no. You're not poor if you left it here. You're not poor if you have Christ in your heart. You're not poor if you've taken Him in. You might be broke. You might be eyeing that dollar menu at McDonald's as a feast. There's a comedian one time talking about when I was in college. I can tell you what the difference between broke and poor was. I was broke. He said, I was poor in my mind, but I was rich in Christ, but I was broke. I found a dollar in the couch one time, and I walked around with it in my pocket for a week because I didn't want to spend it. But we become rich with everything that's drug in, and that's what Jesus is talking about. Yes, He's talking about to a rich young man, but Jesus Christ is not exactly saying to him, become destitute. He's saying to him, stop following the trail of greed. Stop hunting for the next big thing and leave it here. Leave it right here, and I'll take care of it. That's tough to do, ain't it? Even now, because you're saved, right? How many people take worry into their own hearts and start worrying endlessly about things you know you cannot travel through without Christ? Huh? Hands up, everybody. You better. You know why you're doing that? You didn't leave it here. You didn't leave it where Christ told you to do. You didn't walk up to that cross and leave it behind. The Scripture today is talking about leaving ourself behind. Tomorrow is October 8th. And in 1927, a young man was born who wanted to be something more than what he was. He wanted to be a missionary. He knew that becoming a missionary, born in 1927, no, I'm not talking about you, David. He knew that he wanted to become a missionary. He knew that he wanted to do that. And he set himself about that all through his early parts of his life, demanding that he become a missionary, and it was not to be. And he became frustrated with it. He wasn't allowed to go right away, and so he sent himself to college. And he worked hard at college, and he actually got a scholarship, and he still wanted to run off and be a missionary, but he wasn't allowed to be a missionary because he was doing what he wanted to. He wasn't leaving it here. He wasn't taking his old self and placing it over to the side and letting God fill in and pour up. And when he finally did, he met up with another fella in 1952, and off they went to Ecuador. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the name of that tribe. The Quaicucas? He went there in 1952 and they worked amongst those people and they established a missionary post because the time had finally come for him to do that. Mind you, he was considerably older than he once was when he started into this. And of course, they had the task of learning the understanding of the language, but the people became close to them. And so this man, at this point in time, with the missionary group he had, met and fell in love with another missionary, and they got married. And she joined him in 1953, and they had a child. In 1955, they began to try to know the mysterious Auca tribe. And he had a friend who had an aeroplane. Anybody know who I'm talking about yet?
Yeah.
I figured you might. Don't spoil it. He left it here, asking for him to be used as God's will demanded. And he worked hard at it. And five men got together, and now their names: Ed McCulley, Nate Saint, Roger Yaldron, Peter Fleming, and this man, Jim Fleming. And they wandered in. Did you know that was Jim Elliott? And they wandered in amongst those men, that tribe of people, and they became close to them. And they got to know a man within that tribe. And they flew him around in an airplane because he was curious. What they didn't realize was in their learning, They were actually working with, I think, the witch doctor of that tribe, who saw them as great trouble. And so he went back to the tribe in their language and reported that these five men had come to destroy them. They flew in and established a base, made initial contact, had begun to set out things by radio, but in 1956, at 28 years of age, the tribe killed the five men. At that point, anybody in this room, including his wife, would have become angry, would have become mad, would have become distraught, would have become destroyed. And yet, as they received back the bodies and the personal effects, they began to read down through there and saw that things were happening and that great strides were awesome and that they were being made to know and understand these people. And so Elizabeth, his wife, picked up. She said, I'm going to leave all my anger here. I'm going to leave all my distraught here. I'm going to leave everything here so that I continue to live in God's will. And God's will, she made contact. And Elizabeth and Rachel continued it on. And missionary moved forward. And the Bible was opened and known. And Christ's name was raised. As a matter of fact, I think they made a movie about it several years ago called The End of a Spear. Is that the name of it? Yeah, The End of a Spear, all about, made from Nate Saint's son, all about the great work that has gone forth with Christ being known amongst a people who had no idea he existed. Amen. Because they left it here. Because they gave up treasures, they gave up worldly wealth, and they said, we're going to leave it right here. How often do we not want to leave our old self behind? It's often, isn't it? I like a story because they talk about how they captured a ring-tailed monkey, the Zulu tribe does, but it kind of always made me laugh because it tells the story of young children and even a few older ones. You see, ring-tailed monkeys are highly prized, but they are impossible to catch. You can't net them, you can't get them with a dart because they move so fast. And so when big game hunters go in there looking for them to take back to zoos and everything, they hadn't figured out how to capture them. And finally, the Zulu tribe came forward and said, we'll catch all you want. We know how to do it. They simply walked over to a melon hanging on a vine, cut a hole in it just barely big enough for the monkey to stick his hand through. You know why? Because the monkey loves the seeds in the melon. And monkeys aren't smart. He'll reach in and dig and dig and dig till he gets his hand so full he can't get his hand back out that hole. And he'll try, and he'll try, and he'll try. And the Zulu tribesmen will simply walk up, catch him by the tail, cut the melon, take him away, walk away. How many people ever remember going into the candy store and seeing them candy jars there? All the candy you can get out of this jar for a nickel. Right? And you can get your hand in like that. And you get in there, boy, you... I am 45 years old, still falling for that dumb trick. Because I am convinced, as big as I am, I can move my hand in such a way that I can get more than a dollar's worth of candy out of here. And I usually wind up with about 3 pieces. And the guy behind the counter going, want to try again? Yes. Because I refuse to leave it here. The monkeys refuse to let go. And that's the problem with us sometimes, brothers and sisters, as Christians. And that's who I'm speaking to today. I'm not speaking to that lost world out there. I'm talking to you all who are called by God to do incredible things. And sometimes you can't do it because you refuse to leave it here. Whether it be fear, aggravation, I don't know. We're Christians called to higher purpose. Greed overtakes us, and we refuse to let go. My father, telling a story about baptizing down at Johnstown Church of the Brethren, tells this great story about an old boy who come down out of the mountains and started going to church there, and one day Dad gave the invitation, and he walked forward. He was a big old bear of a man. I can still remember seeing him. I don't remember his name. I'm sure Dad does. But he said the time came to baptize. And the fellow went down to the Cherry Run River where they baptized. And as he walked down to the river, there was a fence post. He took out his pipe, put it there, took out his pipe tobacco, his wallet, his chewing tobacco, his pack of cigarettes, car keys, whatever else was in his britches, laid it all right there. Didn't want it to get wet. Goes in the water, baptized 3 times, accepted the call. Walks back up out the water, puts his car keys, wallet, his smoking pipe, tobacco, cigarettes, all his other paraphernalia, right back in and walks back out. Later on, he quit, but at first, he didn't really leave it here. And that is a picture of how we can be sometimes when we're called to do something. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't like doing that. Or, as I heard at an event that I happened to be privy to, I sat beside a man who was claiming he was ordained a minister. Well, that caught my attention, because I'm not ordained yet. Matter of fact, I probably know 10 years ago, by way of my studies before I become ordained, this old boy went on the internet and got himself ordained a minister of what I don't know. But he did it because he wanted to be able to perform weddings and help people out. So I just sat there listening while he talked with another man about how he wanted to, this family had called upon him to do a wedding, and he said, well, you know, if I've got to travel so far, it's going to cost you this much, and I got ordained because I needed to do this for this person, and I'm not going to do this great big long drawn out thing. I'm only going to speak for 20 minutes, but if you want me to speak longer, it's going to cost this much, and so forth and so on. And I'm listening to this thinking, my goodness, I missed the boat. I could become ordained Paul Letterman. That would sit real well with you all, wouldn't it? Yeah, look at that look. Mm-mm. When he got ready to leave, I happened to be allowed to see the vehicle he got into. And I caught the idea that he ain't left it here. Because in the back window he had a big bumper sticker, or a sticker in the back window that said, "We are all children of the same universe." And it had symbols from all the various religions there. Witchcraft, Muslims, whatever. Christians, Jewish. All children of the same universe. I don't disagree with that. We are. But in order to become one child of God, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. You know how you do that? Anybody want to try saying it? Where do you leave it?
Here.
That's right. You leave it here, you follow him. When we come to the cross, which we need to do every single day, we need to leave it there. You know why? Paul wrote about it. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. If we have been united with him like this in death, we will also certainly be united with him in his resurrection. Verse 6, listen to me. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, brothers and sisters, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. You leave it here. Every day. You wake up every morning. I know I'm going to mess up today, Father. You want to hear what I pray every morning? And you can use it. I have no copyright on it. I wake up every morning and I go, please help me. Please. I'm going to mess something up today. If not, I'm going to mess everything up today. Please help me. Please let me have some wisdom and some patience. Please let me get through this day. Please. And then try to leave it here. That's what we're being taught. That's what he was talking about. When he spoke to him, he said, give up your riches. And the man couldn't understand. He simply had to give up himself. Christ goes on to say, you will be given so much more, but also you're going to be persecuted, so be ready for that. And the famous line, verse 27, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. All things. If you leave it here, all things are possible. If you wake up every morning walking away from it, all things are possible. If you're suffering from, and I liked what Fran prayed, if you're suffering from depression, if you're suffering from sadness, if you're suffering from worry, if you're suffering from fear, you don't need to if you leave it here. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Do you understand it?
Yeah.
It's what I need to teach myself. It's what I felt that we needed to be looking at. And as we approach fellowship and love feast and washing of the feet, we're going to leave it here. We're going to go back and do what he did. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have... I heard it said that if I am led to the edge of a cliff by God's will, and if it be God's will that I fall off that cliff, two things are going to happen. He's going to catch me or teach me to fly. And either way, Father, we're going to come back to you shouting and praising in prayer because we left it behind. We left it here. We left it at the foot of the cross. We left it where your Son died to take away our sins. We leave it there, Father. We wake up every morning struggling with ourselves when we simply need to leave it there and then get going. And be understanding that as he taught us through those scriptures that treasures laid up here ain't going to matter up there. Treasures of money, treasures of possessions, treasures of anything ain't going to matter up there. If we leave behind here, you're going to give us so much more. Yes, we're going to be prosecuted, but we're going to walk around with that joy in our heart and nobody can steal the joy of your Son who died to save us. If we just leave it here at the foot of the cross. At the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burden is gone. Prepare our hearts, Father, as we prepare to move toward the basement. As we prepare to move into our next step today, Father, which is the fellowship, the love feast, the communion, the remembering, the washing of the feet, and strengthening us together as brothers and sisters, that we may come away from here joyful ever so much more. Prepare our hearts yet again, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As I make the altar call here this afternoon, I say unto you that if you have that need, come up here and leave it. Got a whole lot of room. I can handle all of you. I'm pretty good at speed praying. If you need that strengthening in here, as we sing this last hymn, and remember then as we prepare for it, we will move toward the love feast.